And we'll be getting into our very first matter of fact with the team from Africa Check. Kate Wilkinson is here with us in studio. And we're looking back at what ANC Party President Cyril Ramaphosa had to say when he delivered the party's traditional January 8th statement, because the organization was celebrating 107 years. So it was the 107th birthday and, of course, had taken over Durban. Hello, Kate. It's, we were talking about the heat, and you know what it got me thinking of? You know, it's so hot right now that you sweat in the most, in the oddest places. So we're cooler in here, but I know it's crazy out there.
I couldn't possibly know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on. You know when you get the run of the sweat at the back of your thigh?
You can trace them.
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of week that we're having. I think it's, 32 in Tshwane, 29, 30 here in Johannesburg. So yes, you are going to want that aircon. I'm not a huge fan of aircon, but on a day or week like today.
Non-negotiable.
So it's been an eventful couple of days for the ANC.
Absolutely. So we've definitely hit the ground running. We were back in the office early last week, and by Tuesday we had Cyril Ramaphosa delivering the annual January 8th statement, and we had our fact checkers listening very carefully to hear exactly what the president was claiming.
Yes.
And then just this week, we saw the launch of really the first manifesto as we approach the elections, with the ANC releasing theirs. And we've got our fact checkers again combing through that, and it's going to take us a couple of days to identify the claims we're going to check, and then maybe a couple of weeks to get through them, check the numbers, speak to the experts, and understand exactly where truth and fact lies.
Yes.
But today we're really looking back. We're looking at the birthday statement, what claims were made, what achievements were hailed as, you know, progress from the party, and we're seeing if it's true or if it's incorrect.
There are few that we'll be interrogating in this half hour, and we welcome your calls, of course, on 011-883-0702. And you can also tell us about claims that you would like Africa Check to interrogate. Don't forget that part, that you play a part as you're reading your Sunday newspapers, the dailies, if you're listening to a speech or you're reading a press release or a report of sorts. If you come across any interesting claims that are being made that you think, wait, hang on a minute, is this true? Is it correct? Is it accurate? You're welcome to pass it on to us so that the team from Africa Check can take a closer look, because it is part of what their objectives as an organization. They, of course, exist in order to eliminate all these bits of misinformation that we end up having in our society. So the first claim that we're going to look at has to do with economic challenges. What did the president say?
So yes, as he delivered his speech, the president did point to a few claims about the economy. And the first of them being, he said, and I quote, "Despite economic challenges over the last few years, our economy has tripled in size over the last 25 years.
Tripled. I mean, you could stand up and applaud at hearing that.
It does sound like a good story to tell.
Yes.
But we took that claim and we compared it to the numbers, and we found...
What did you find?
A slightly different picture. First of all, when we're looking at the size of the economy, we normally measure that with something called GDP, and that is gross domestic product. And what that is the value of all goods and services that are produced in a country or an area in a certain time period, and it's normally over a year.
Yes.
So when we look at this claim, essentially what the president is saying is that over 25 years, GDP has tripled. And it appears that this claim does have a somewhat of a base in fact, although it's a little bit wobbly. It appears to be based on a comparison of current or nominal GDP. And when we look at the World Bank figures, what we see is that indeed, nominal GDP grew by 2.5 times from 1994 to 2017.
Right.
We don't have 2018 figures yet, but if we look from 1994 to 2017, indeed, GDP grew about 2.5 times. And if you round it up and give the president the benefit of the doubt, that's 3 times. But when we spoke to Prof. Yanni Rousseau, who is the head of the School of Economic and Business Sciences at Fitz University, he said that by comparing nominal prices for GDP, you're going to get completely distorted figures.
Right.
And that's because in this measure, it includes inflation.
Mm.
It doesn't separate inflation from real economic growth. Mm. And if you want to measure real economic growth and remove inflation from the picture, then you need to use constant or real GDP.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see there is when you remove inflation from the picture, we see that South Africa's economy grew 1.9 times.
Not over, the 2.5.
Over this period.
Right. And also, I've heard the question of per capita, looking at individuals and households and how they have fared over time. And that should be the real measure, because some say people have gotten, especially over the past couple of years with the economy performing the way it has, just, you know, poorer over time.
So what, as you point out, GDP per capita is an incredibly important measure, because it not only tells you the size of the economy that has grown over that period, mm-hmm. but then it also takes into account how the population has grown.
Yes.
Because with an economy growing, as the population grows, you want to know relatively, if you took the whole pie that is GDP and you sliced it up and you gave an equal piece to each person in the country, how has that wealth or how has that value increased?
Yes.
And when we look at this measure, we actually see an even worse story.
Mm.
We see that if we look at GDP per capita, we see between 1994 and 2017, this increased just 1.2 times.
Hmm.
So if we round all these numbers up, the original claim by the president was that the size of our economy has tripled over the last 25 years. There's a bit of truth in this. If you use one very selective measure, which counts inflation really as economic growth as well, then yes, that measure of GDP has increased by 2.5 times.
Mm.
But when we look at measures which remove inflation from the picture, only really look at economic growth, we see that the number isn't that high.
Right. So we will declare that one. What's the verdict?
We've ruled that, we found that that claim was misleading.
Okay.
There's an element of the truth in there, but it's presented in a way which is misleading or doesn't give you the full picture so that you can make an accurate assessment.
So I know this is recent and the party has been wrapped up in all of these events, but is it possible to go to the presidency and ask where they got that from, the three times, the triple?
So that will be what we do now with the manifesto.
Right.
With this fact check, we really tried to do it on the day.
Mm.
But we will be taking not just that question, but really this information back to the party in this case, not the presidency, as it was a statement by the ANC.
Yes.
And asking them for that information.
All right. So that one is misleading. Let's look at another claim that was shared as well. 7 million more people are now employed today than were employed in 1994. Employment figures.
Yeah. Employment figures are a regular feature at election times. You know, jobs, jobs, jobs. It often is the main talking part of parties.
Mm.
And we've seen, like every other election, jobs and how many people are employed. The numbers have been brought up early, and I expect we're going to see them often over the next few months.
Yes.
So if we go all the way back to 1994, it was estimated that in South Africa, around 8.9 million people were employed. If we then go to the most recent labor statistics that we have from Statistics South Africa, we see that in between July and September of 2018, that number had increased to 16.4 million people.
Oh, so one could say the president made the right claim.
Yeah.
So it's about 7 million. It's over 7 million.
It is indeed. So if you look at the increase, it's about 7.5 million people. Here comes the but.
Yeah.
So the first but is that Statistics South Africa has in the past said, hang on, let's be careful about comparing statistics from surveys which were conducted in the 90s, especially the early 90s, to the more recent data.
Right.
That's because these surveys were constructed, implemented, and questioned in different ways that sometimes matter.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to compare them, we need to say we're comparing these two data sets. There have been concerns, but at face value, this is what it shows.
Right.
Secondly, Statistics South Africa and other labor analysts and economists have said, in this case, the ANC president is right when it comes to the absolute figures, but it's misleading to only look
compare absolute figures.
Because it's also true to say that while there are, you know, more people employed today than there were in 1994,
yes,
there are also more unemployed people today than they were in 1994.
Absolutely, because you think about the population growth, the number of people entering the job market. So this isn't a full story at all.
No, indeed. So what they advise is definitely present the absolute figures. Mm-hmm. You know, say that the number of employed people has increased, but you also have to be honest and say, we need to look at the unemployment rates.
Yeah.
Because what that tells us is, you know, how many people are in the workforce, how many people are employed, how many people are looking for work. And when we look at the unemployment rates, both the narrow and the broad, we see that although the number of employed people has increased over this period, mm-hmm. so has both of the unemployment rates. So if we look just at the narrow unemployment rate, we see that in 1994, it was at 22%. The most recent estimate we have puts it at 27.5%.
Mm.
And then if we look at the broad unemployment rate,
yeah.
in 1994, that stood at 35%. And the most recent estimate is 37.3%.
Yes.
So when it comes to this claim, the president is right.
Using absolute figures.
Absolute figures. But it doesn't actually give you a good understanding of where we are when it comes to employment and especially unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, both measures of unemployment have increased over the period that the president points to increased employment numbers.
Yes, and that has an effect on those figures. What is the next claim? Because there are quite a few we still have to get through from that particular address.
So the next claim we're looking at is a really interesting one because it's one that we've looked at previously.
Yes.
So the claim is that in 1994, only 3 out of 10 people in South Africa had electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is a two-parter. So then the president of the ANC went on to say, today, 8 out of 10 South Africans have electricity in their home.
So two parts. Let's start with the first one about looking at 1994. Did we have 3 out of 10 people in SA with electricity?
So the first thing to say is that this isn't a new claim. It's one which has been made often, and we've actually seen former President Jacob Zuma has made this claim a number of times during his presidency, and actually a number of ministers and different government reports point to this figure.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found is that there is no research, there is no report, there is no data that actually supports this claim. When we investigated it, we looked at a number of different surveys.
Yeah.
And the most reliable survey that we found for that time period was a survey which was conducted by the South African Labour and Development Research Unit in the early 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were trying to do was to establish a baseline for living conditions in South Africa just before the transition.
Yes.
So, you know, yes. progress would be able to be measured. And what they found was that in 1993-94, an estimated 53.6% of households had access to electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at data that comes from Statistics South Africa just a few years later, in 1995, 1996, it seems to suggest that over this period, we were looking at access of around the mid-50s.
Right.
So not as
10,
low.
Not three.
So yeah, so not as low as Ramaphosa and other members of government have claimed.
Mm.
So this claim is incorrect, and is an important reason why we fact check this is because by lowering a base, by making the base year of comparison look lower, you make any increase
yes.
look much bigger,
yes.
much more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the second part of the claim is that 8 out of 10 South Africans have electricity in their home.
Mm.
This is correct.
Times are different. We have better monitoring. We, you know, our collection of data is different now versus then.
So that's one point to take into account. If we look at the 2017 General Household Survey, indeed, about in the mid-80s, about 86% of South Africans had electricity in their home.
Okay.
If we compare it to a base of 30%, we're looking at a percentage point increase in access to electricity of around 50%.
Mm.
But if we compare it off the correct base, which is backed by research,
yes.
we're looking at, since 1994, access to electricity being increased by around 30 percentage points.
All right. So as far as the second part of that claim, it is correct.
It is correct.
And the first part, I don't know, how do you go about making sure that a claim is, as you said, for years, ministers, presidents have been using the same claim, that they start to use the correct figures or refer to the right research?
Yeah, we often refer to these as zombie claims because no matter how many times
they just double,
you whack them
they won't
down,
go anywhere.
They crawl back up and stalk you down. And there are a few things. Repetition.
Mm-hmm.
If people keep saying it, we're going to keep saying it's wrong.
And eventually it becomes truth.
And we do, yeah. So sometimes we do see these claims just ingrained. And the problem is they're in a lot of government documents. Yeah. And when one department writes a report and they want to cite electricity statistics, they find another government document, mm-hmm. they cite that one. And so we do see a bit of an echo chamber. But this information is out there. The public, listeners, they can take this information. They can tweet it to people who use the claim. We have to keep repeating the truth, the accurate information, to drown out these zombie claims that keep claiming things that are not correct.
Zombie claims. And then 9 out of 10 South Africans today have clean running water. Is this correct?
Yeah, so this is indeed mostly correct. If we look at the latest general household survey in 2017, 88.6% of households had access to piped or tapped water.
Yeah, because that doesn't necessarily mean that you have clean running water. Having a tap in your yard does not mean that you have water coming out of there that
Absolutely.
Is clean and reliable on a consistent basis.
Absolutely. So we spoke to StatsSA and they told us that theoretically, according to the definition of what piped water should be, it should be clean. So that's the first part. The second part is then we looked at a few measures of not just the delivery of water, but the quality of that water and the quality of the service that is being delivered.
Mm.
So if you look at how people rated their water service, around 64% of households said that their water service was good. 25% said it was average, and around 11% said it was poor.
Yeah.
And if we look at whether people think their water is safe to drink, nationally we see that around 7% of households in South Africa think that their water is not safe to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And that share is actually highest in Mpumalanga, where it goes up to 14%.
Wow. Yes.
So if we're looking at whether households have access to piped or tapped water, which theoretically should be clean. The claim is mostly correct, but there are concerns about, first of all, the service of that, the quality of that service and delivery, and also the quality of the actual water that people have to drink.
Yes, and as you said, this comes from StatsSA 2017 General Household Survey. So it was recent, very recent. It's just that lots of our listeners, whenever we talk about the question of water, even from my own experience, I travel to a particular community in the Northwest. There are pipes, there are taps in the yard, but there's no water that comes out of it. And it's been like that for years and years and years. So yes, you dug in the ground, you brought the pipes and you brought the taps, but whether or not there's clean water coming out of there is another question altogether. So that claim, mostly correct, but ultimately there are all these other questions that arise from it. And then another claim that he made was that every day the government feeds 9 million children.
Mm.
He said, we feed 9 million children. So is this correct? What are the figures when it comes to our feeding schemes?
Mm. So when it comes to our feeding schemes, we can look at data from the Department of Basic Education.
Yeah.
And in their latest annual report, their numbers show that just under 9.3 million pupils in South Africa were part of that feeding scheme. And the feeding scheme is designed to provide one meal per day to pupils in poor schools across the country. If we look, though, at a different measure, the General Household Survey also measures this. And in their assessment, they actually found a higher number of children have benefited from the scheme, which is interesting. They put the figure at just over 11 million. But when it came to how many children said they were getting food every day, they estimated around 8.8 million children said they were getting a meal every day, with about 590,000 saying that they were only getting a meal a few times a week.
Mm.
So the figures seem to be about around the 9 million mark, as the president said, but it doesn't appear as though all of those children are getting a meal every single day.
Every day, as you said, there's the week component as well. And also, do we have a sense of the numbers of pupils who depend on this program for their meals?
So what is abundantly clear when we spoke to a number of people in this field is that this food is extremely important for these children. In a number of cases, if not the majority, it will be the only meal that they get that day.
Yeah.
And that there have been problems. Specifically, just recently in 2017, it was reported in KZN that there were huge problems with the feeding scheme and that there were contracts with the provincial department for companies who are meant to be providing this food, but there was no food being provided at these schools.
Hmm. That's a worrying one, but at least those figures were largely correct, and that it's an underestimate instead of an over estimate. Mm. You know, it says that. I think that's better, isn't it?
So
when there's an under.
So if we look at the figures from the department, they put it around 9 million, which is in line with the president's claim. Mm-hmm. If we look though at the general household survey, it's 11. It's 11, yeah. But it shows that only about 8.8 million pupils are getting a meal every day, which is slightly lower. So, and there are just over 500,000 children who are part of the scheme who should get a meal every day.
So the program is failing in those areas. And then another claim is that more than 4.3 million South Africans who are living with HIV receive antiretroviral treatments, making it the biggest program in the whole world. So this is also a very common claim that we hear from time to time.
It is, and it's entirely correct. The latest figures from the World Health Organization, which offers comparable data between countries, show that in 2017, just over 4.3 million people we're receiving antiretroviral therapy. Yeah. And if we look at comparisons of the size of these programs around the world, South Africa does top the ranks. Like I said, around 4.3 million people on treatment, followed by India at 1.2 million and Mozambique at also about 1.2 million. But importantly, we have the highest number of people on antiretroviral treatment because we have the highest number of people living with HIV.
Yes.
In 2017, it was at 7.2 million, followed by India at 2.1 million.
And I think what's also disheartening about the table that you have presented with the top five countries, the world's largest antiretroviral treatment programs, out of the five countries in the top, four of them are African countries.
Indeed.
So South Africa in first place, India in second, Mozambique in third, Kenya in fourth, and then Zimbabwe in fifth. So that just makes the picture even
absolutely. It shows the incredible burden that HIV has placed, not just on Africa, but specifically on Southern Africa.
Absolutely. And then the final one, that more South Africans are living longer, with average life expectancy increasing to 64 years in 2018 from a low of 53 years in 2005.
That's also correct. It's backed up by data from Statistics South Africa and other organizations which produce life expectancy estimates. Mm-hmm. And if we go back to the previous claim, most health experts say that it's largely because of the rollout of antiretrovirals that we've seen life expectancy increasing from the low of 53 years in 2005.
Wow. All right. So compliments in certain areas, but of course there are shortcomings in many other areas. But these speeches, as we know, are meant to kind of paint a picture of where the successes are, talk about where you hope to improve. So we also have to look at the speech, the objectives of delivering that speech and what it is that it seeks to achieve. So in that light, not bad fairy.
Yeah. So if we round it up, we looked at eight claims. Three were found to be correct, two were mostly correct, one was incorrect, and two were misleading.
There we go. Thank you so much, Kate.
Thanks, Azania.
And we will retweet some of the claims. As you know, the Africa Check team is fantastic on Twitter. So they add the links and I will retweet them on my timeline so that you can click on these reports and read them for yourself. That was Kate Wilkinson, senior researcher at Africa Check for Matter of Fact, our very first for this year.